हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Last class we saw very clearly how absolute reality Brahman is revealed through Mahavakyam, and this example was given beautifully. Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya, using the Bhagatyaga Lakshana, this oneness of the truth of the individual and the total is revealed. And example also was given how the person whom you would have been associating with long when you were young, there is one person and who would have been your playmate, a classmate, a schoolmate, or your childhood friend, and you spent many years with him when he had a beautiful hair, beautiful skin, he looked young, hair healthy and energetic. The same person after many years, 2-3 decades or 4 decades out of 40 years, again, you happened to meet him. You saw him when he was 15, 16. Again, you see him when he becomes like 60, 70. Then the person whom you knew, the physical body, the condition of the body which you knew him as a person, and now you also see him, there you understand the same person is there. For you to see the same person who was there as your playmate is now here again in this situation, then what you did, you have intellectually removed the physical condition of the person when he was young, and you're also removing the physical condition of the person when he is now a person. Removing the physical conditions, you take only the person as a person. Then you see that person and this person are not two, one and the same person. The same way, the Bhagatyaga Lakshana also, using this Bhagatyaga Lakshana method, you remove the upadhi, Ishwarasya Maya upadhi and Jivasya Avidya upadhi. So Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi Maya, Ajap Pradhana Prakritihi Avidya, and Tamap Pradhana Prakritihi, again, Prakriti. If we remove these three, we cannot include the third one also. If we remove the three Prakritis, what now? Brahman is just one of the same. That, the Brahma Chaitanyam, the consciousness of the nature of limitlessness, is the truth of Tvam, is the truth of Tat, truth of Jagat also. In fact, Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. So only difference is what? In Maya, you can see there's a manifestation of consciousness. In Avidya, there is manifestation of consciousness. Whereas in Prakriti, there is consciousness. But there's no manifestation. There's a difference. Consciousness obtains in Tamapradhana Prakriti, is present but not manifest. The consciousness is manifest in Avidya Rajapradhana Prakriti, the poor manifestation, and the clear manifestation Maya, there is Ishvara. So if you remove the Avidya, Maya and Prakriti, and the Tamapradhana Prakriti, called Prakriti, obtaining in the form of the inert material universe, and the Jiva, appearing as the subtle manifestation, and Ishvara appearing as the total manifestation. And that manifestation is essentially one and the only consciousness, Brahma. Jiva Swarupam is Brahma. Ishvara Swarupam is Brahma. Jagat Swarupam is also Brahma. That's why we say consciousness obtains the existence of the universe. We don't see consciousness as the knowledge in inert material, in inert matter. Why we do not see Brahma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, as the because inert things, consciousness is, but is not available for recognition, not available for interaction, because consciousness is but not manifest. Well, non-manifestation is not actually non-existence. Not being manifest is not non-existence of consciousness. But non-manifestation is what now? Consciousness is not manifest means it is not recognizable. Therefore, non-recognizability of consciousness should not be mistaken for non-existence. So, in the prakriti, tava pradhana prakriti, obtaining in the form of inert forms and names, also there is consciousness as very existence of those inert forms and names, and that existence enjoyed by all the inert forms and names is nothing but consciousness, Brahma. The same way Jiva Swarupam, that the manifestness Jiva as a pradhana prakriti is also consciousness, and Ishvara in total manifestation as Ishvara in Maya is also consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, Jagat is Brahma, Ishvara is Brahma, Jiva is also Brahma. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. But actually, Upadis, if you remove, what is there is only Brahma Chaitanyam. This cognitive removal, separation of Upadis is what? Actually, understanding the oneness of the truth of Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. In Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, Jagat is not really discussed. Only Ishvara and Jiva are discussed. But Jagat is implied there. We can understand. Anyway, this we have already seen. This is the old lesson. So this is a Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana also you would have understood very clearly. And today we have to move on to the next 48th verse. Maya vidye vihayaivam. Maya vidye vihayaivam. Upadhi parajivayoho. Upadhi parajivayoho. Akhandam sachidanandam. Akhandam sachidanandam. Param brahmaiva lakshyate. Param brahmaiva lakshyate. So what he says in this? Maya avidya is equal to maya vidye. Maya plus avidya is equal to maya vidye. So maya vidye vihaya means what now? If we cognitively remove maya and avidya, what are is maya and avidya? Upadis. Upadhi. Upadhi means a dual word. This is upadhi, upadhi, upadhayaha. For upadhi is singular, upadhi dual. And the two upadhis are there. What are they? Maya and avidya. When you put them together, maya vidye. Maya vidye means maya and avidya. And what are they? Upadhi. They are two upadhis. Of whom two upadhis were jiva and ishvara. Para jivayoho. Para upadhi maya, jiva upadhi avidya. பரஜீவையோகோ மாயாவித்யே உபாதி விஹாய ஏவம். In this manner, having cognitively removed, deleted, separated the Maya and Avidya, the Upadhis, then we should see there is only one indivisible, partless, whole, absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, Param Brahmaiva Lakshyate. What is that reality? Because once you remove the Maya and Avidya, there's only one truth. It's exactly like if you cognitively remove the wave form and the ocean form, and you will see only one substance called water. The same way when you remove the Maya Upadhi, Maya Ishwara Upadhi, you remove the Avidya, the Jiva Upadhi, cognitively, physically don't do it, cognitively, then there is only one Brahma. What is it, Brahma? Param Brahma. What is it, Param Brahma? What is it, absolute reality, which is Akhandam, which is what? One indivisible, divisionless, partless whole. And that one indivisible, divisionless, partless whole, the absolute reality, what is that? Which is Satchit. Satchit Anandam. Satchit Anandam means which alone obtains the existence of everything, which is actually the pure consciousness and which is of the nature of fullness. And that reality alone is arrived at. Reality alone is there. And Param Brahma Lakshyate means what now? It is arrived at. Param Brahman alone is revealed here. Arrived at. Okay, this is we saw already. Now we have got the next verse. And here, with this 48th verse, Shravanam part is over. In teaching, I'm sure you remember, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So, Jnana Yogaha, nothing to do with the Karma Yogaha now, in Jnana Yogaha, the study of the scripture or attainment of the as a pursuit of knowledge actually involves three steps: Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. There, until now, until this 48th verse, Shravanam aspect of the study is presented. Shravanam means what? Listening to the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam. So we understood what is Brahma Chaitanyam and how Prakritihi, apart from consciousness, we are talking about the, it's like when you talk about the ocean, you had to talk about water as well as the form and name ocean. It's not water alone is not the ocean, but form and name wave alone is not the ocean. Both together form the ocean. When you talk about here the reality, you have to talk about two orders of the reality. Therefore, we saw the consciousness plus matter. You know, you say plus, it's not that something, for sake of understanding, I'm using this expression, okay? Consciousness is there, matter is there. And this matter is of three types. We saw Satta Pradhana Prakriti, Rajah Pradhana Prakriti, Tav Pradhana Prakriti. And there, where there is manifestation, where there is no manifestation. In Hatta Pradhana, Raja Pradhana, Prakritis, there is manifestation. So in Raja Pradhana, Prakriti, manifestation of consciousness, it gets the Jiva status. Hatta Pradhana, it gets, in Maya, it gets the Ishwara status. Dhamma Pradhana, Prakriti, there is no manifestation at all. Therefore, we get that now, Jada, isn't it? Jada Prakriti, we say. Anyway, matter is Maya, Ravidya or Prakriti is Jada only. But because of these twofold Prakritis, Maya and Avidya, being capable of reflecting, manifesting consciousness, they become conscious. That's what we understand. Therefore, anyway, it's only matter. But this matter by itself, whether it's a Maya or Avidya or Prakriti, does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, we say what is mithya, and Brahma Chaitanya Satyam. And here we do not talk about the unmanifested, where the consciousness which apprehensive of sat actually. We talk about the, we see the how Jiva and Ishvara are one and the only reality. Essentially, Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. And for which the previous verse which we have learnt now, that teaches us just how cognitively, intellectually we remove the Jiva Upadhi and Ishvara Upadhi. Upadhau Bedaha Vartate. The difference is only in Upadhi. One is Satta Pradhana, one is Rajah Pradhana. But the manifestation, that is, there's no Beda, there's no manifest, because manifestations are of the one and the only consciousness. Both are essentially consciousness, Brahma. This is how we arrive at the Brahma. Brahma, Akhandam, Satchit Anandam, Brahma Lakshyate, which we saw. And so here, now we understood it. Actually, Shravanam aspect of this teaching is over. Now here onwards, the 49th verse onwards, now Vidyaranya Swami in this chapter presents the Mananam step. The second step involved in the teaching, in the study of the Shastram is called Mananam. That the next step involved in the teaching called Mananam is actually presented here in this teaching. What is Mananam? You're going to understand here. In fact, Mananam is a process through which one can resolve all one's doubts, the possible doubts. And the doubts, who caused the doubts? Who are the creators of the doubts? The doubt is a state of mind, the condition of the mind, obtaining in our thought, where in the intellect. Therefore, the doubts belong to the intellect. Doubts are nothing but condition of the mind, obtaining in our thought. So we call it intellectual problem. Doubts are intellectual problems. So doubts, one can have one's own mind. In one's own mind, doubts can come. And if you were not given to much thinking also, the doubts are not at all possible if you have clear doubt-free understanding. And doubts are not possible if you have not understood at all anything. Doubts are possible only if you have half-baked some understanding of something, anything. So doubts can rise in your own mind. Or even if you don't think, others can come and talk to you, confuse you, shake your understanding. If somebody else comes and talks to you, now there are people, you know, even after having done 3 years course, studied with Swamiji, and how a lot of people say the same things. You know, they listen to him, and how Swamiji is very subtle, certain as very beautifully he unfolds, he gives the vision. That they miss. They go and tell Swamiji himself, Swamiji, you know, you talk exactly, you're saying what J. Krishnamurti says. And exactly what Judge Rajneesh says. Now, I remember Swamiji saying, he put his hand like this. Rama, Ivalna on the pardon gekral, Sanyasa, you know, the Runa Vankanumber. I had to go to Sanyasa again second time, not to teach anymore. You know, he used to say that because people don't understand it. Why? Because they don't really see the basic things everybody understands. Dhrigdrishi Veka Prakriya, fine, fantastic. I am the knower, body is the known. Object of my knowledge, anything you are, knower is not the known. So you are not the know, body. I am not the body. I am not the mind. These basic things everybody blabbers all over the world. People are exposed little Vedanta finished. I am not the body. Oh, so what? What are you then? Swamiji asks, what are you then? If everybody says, I'm not the body, put him to starvation for 3 days. Swamiji says, it is not to say I'm not the body. The teaching is not to say I'm not the body, okay? The teaching is Okay, not to say I'm not the body. You have to understand body also me. I am the whole. That is the idea. Not to say I'm not the body. It's only teaching methodology. Therefore, in the same way, people don't understand the subtle difference. In the action, the giving vision involves subtle differences. That is very subtle, I think. So here also, anybody, even you are listening, other people can come. If they can say something, if you are not 100% clear, your understanding is not very clear and thorough, your understanding can be shaken. They can create, produce doubts in you. Ah, they also may be right. They also very right. You know, only now, how other people, when they present their arguments, they sound very clear, very intelligent, very brilliant. And from their standpoint, you will mistake. Yeah, yeah, they're also right. They're also right. You will say that, think that way. Okay, that's called what now? It means you cannot see how they are not right. For you to be able to see they are not right, you must know how 100% you are right. It is not for arguing, it's not for refuting, it's not for making the other person feel inferior. No, it is for ultimately for your own clarity. Therefore, doubts can arise in your own mind, or doubts can be, even if you don't doubt, others can come and talk to you and shake your knowledge, and then they can contribute for your doubts. Anyway, therefore, doubts have to be resolved. Because doubtful knowledge after Shravanam is as good as ignorant, because it does not. Doubtful knowledge will not allow you enjoy the benefit of knowledge. You want to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, it must be doubt-free knowledge. So, that if you cannot enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, and what is the use of having that knowledge? If the knowledge has to be useful, effective, if you have to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, definitely it must be doubt-free knowledge. Therefore, doubts have to be resolved, and it is here mananam is prescribed as the means. And from this verse onwards, Vidyaranya Swami presents the mananam step involved in the teaching. So here, the doubts are of many, you can say simple doubts. No, simple doubts raised by an ordinary person, a novice, or any layman can come with his doubts. Sometimes the great philosophers, the great thinkers also can have doubts. The layman who does not know anything at all, is not given to much thinking, also can have doubts. Natural for him to have doubts. But even after having studied so much, even being given to the lot of thinking also can come with the doubts. Don't think doubts are there only for the novice. Doubts will be more, for the so-called thinkers, the so-called philosophers also. And here, in this 49th verse, first he, Vidyaranya Swami, presents the doubt, the query by a logician, Nayayikaha, not an ordinary person, a Nayayika. Nayayika, the person of logistics, the logician, Nayayikaha, Nyaya philosopher, comes with his doubt. Now, what is the query? That is, we have to read in the next. Let us see the verse first. Savikalpasya lakshyatve. Savikalpasya lakshyatve. Lakshyasya syadavastuta. Lakshyasya syadavastuta. Nirvikalpasya lakshyatvam. Nirvikalpasya lakshyatvam. Nadrishtam nacha sambhavi. Nadrishtam nacha sambhavi. Savikalpasya lakshyatve. Lakshyasya syadavastuta. నిర్వికల్పస్య లక్ష్యత్వం నదృష్టం నచ సంభవి. నిర్వికల్పస్య లక్ష్యత్వం నదృష్టం నచ సంభవి. So, what he says here, let me, before even we go to the text, he will tell you, what is that doubt? He begins. In his 49th verse, he says, see, the doubt, this doubt here discussed in this 49th verse, the doubt, the query from a logician, Ayayakaha, and so he here, what is that doubt? Is really it's a very good intellectual exercise for all of us. Okay, like a physical exercise, it's a good intellectual exercise. Like how when you do physical exercise, body becomes strong. This intellectual exercise also what now? Our intellect becomes clearer, and all the toxins in the intellect will get removed, isn't it? So it means we clear, there will be clarity. So he says, now what we have just concluded now, the previous verses, we have arrived at this fact. What is that fact? Etattvam asi is a Mahavakyam, and this Mahavakyam reveals the Brahman, absolute reality. Is what revealed by this Mahavakyam Tattvamasi. See, if you read, don't read this book now, listen to me. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam reveals the Brahman. And Brahman as the one's own self. We do not know what Brahman is. He says, oh, Brahman is what? Tattvada Lakshyartha. That Tattvada Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Tattvamasi, that Brahman you are, which means if you know you are what you are, and you see that yourself, you see yourself being Brahman, you are non-separate from Brahman, you are identical with Paramatma, because essentially you are Brahma. Which means the absolute reality, the truth of the whole, is revealed through Mahavakyam as one's own Swarupam. Isn't it? And who unfolds this? Guruhu. So Guruhu, the teacher, unfolds the Mahavakyam. Thereby what now? Through the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam, you are arriving at the nature of Brahman as yourself. Now the doubt, now what he says, that is fine. Now Brahman, which is revealed through the Mahavakyam, he takes Brahman is revealed, prakashyate, Brahman is revealed, lakshyate, Brahman is revealed, lakshyate, Brahman is revealed. So revealed is what now? Past, passive, participle. That's why I said intellectual exercise, okay? Revealed is a past tense verb. It is also past, passive, participle. So revealed, Brahman is revealed. And then who is the revealer of the truth? The teacher. Through what? Through Mahavakyam. Therefore he says, Brahman is revealed when you say, Brahman is brought to light when you say, you arrive at Brahman means Brahman is arrived at. Brahman is revealed means Brahman is object of revelation. He says, so who says this? Nayayika. Brahman is object of revelation. He says, hey Vedantin, from your own unfoldment, now as you explained, I accept it, but this is a doubt I have. Very clear. Jivatma Paramatma Swarupma is one and the same, and that is Brahma. So through Mahavakyam, you say you Mahavakyam reveals Brahman. And the thing is, Brahman is arrived at, Brahman is revealed means Brahman is object of revelation. If Brahman is object of revelation, Vedanta Shastram or the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, Mahavakyam is instrument of revelation. Because through that you arrive at Brahman. And then subject of revelation, the one who reveals, the revealer of Brahman is the teacher. So Guruhu is the revealer. Mahavakyam is instrument of revelation, instrument, and Brahman is object of revelation. When you say that, the revealer, okay, revealing and the revealed means what now? Triputi. It's called a Triputi. And a Triputi means Brahman becomes one of the aspects of Triputi. Now Brahman becomes what now? One of the aspects of the Triputi. He takes step by step. When you, we also think now, it must be right. It sounds very logical, isn't it? But see, Vidyarani Swami's answer, that would be very, that is most interesting. Anyway, Brahman becomes what now? Object of revelation. Therefore, Brahman becomes one of the members, one of the factors of the Triputi. Triputi means what now? Triputi means this, the knower, known knowledge, like revealer, revealed, revealing, revealed, isn't it? These three together is a Triputi. So we call Triputi Bheda also. So now Brahman is the object of revelation, means Brahman becomes one of the members of the Triputi. Therefore what? Brahman, one of the members of Triputi means there is plurality, there is duality, there is division. There is division. Okay, so what now? If there is division, we accept the division. If Brahman is one of the members of this Triputi, as an object of revelation, then being, no, the Dvaitam also is there, duality comes. If the duality is there, then wherever there is a duality, that what now? Anything which becomes the member of the duality, what now says? Savikalpam. Savikalpam, division. There is a division. Brahman also becomes what now? Brahman also becomes part of the division. Brahman has division now. When Dvaitam comes, duality is that. You get the point? Dvaitam. And once if it is, if you say Dvaitam is, if Brahman, because it's different, if Dvaitam is there, duality is there, then Brahman is part of this, the as a second member, something else, duality is there, something else is there other than Brahman, means then Brahman becomes what now? Mithya. Dvaitam is Mithya. Who says this? And Advaiti says Dvaitam is Mithya. Advaitam alone is Satyam. Therefore, if Brahman becomes what now? Brahman becomes, the Dvaitam becomes real. If the Dvaitam is, means Dvaitam is Mithya, therefore Brahman becomes Mithya. Brahman is not Satyam. According to Nayayika, Brahman is not Satyam. Brahman is Mithya. Why Brahman is Mithya? Because Brahman, you what know, Savikalpam. Brahman also, but Savikalpam means Brahman has division. Why Brahman has division? Because Brahman is part of the Triputi. One of the members of the Triputi. Why? Because Brahman is an object of revelation. How do you arrive at it? You, from your own sentence, Tattvamasi Mahavakya, Nirupanam. You established Brahman through the unfoldment of Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, that is fine. I heard with all patience how beautifully, nicely you were explaining. I was thinking how I can refute. Oh, Nayayika has to really, it's like a crying, you know. Nayayika, oh my God, this Advaitin is so beautifully, very cleverly, logically, come on, using Bhaga, Tyaga, Lakshana, remove Maya, remove Avidya, take only consciousness. And you see, consciousness is one indivisible, partless soul, Akhandam, Satchidanandam, Brahma. Beautifully he says, my God, how can I establish my view, my contention, my philosophy, my system? How can I refute this person? He was so thoughtfully worried as he was listening to this unfoldment. Now he comes. You are saying Brahman is revealed through Mahavakyam. And Mahavakyam is instrument of knowledge. And Guru is the revealer, subject of knowledge. There is a revealer, revealing, revealed difference. Triputi Bheda has come. Bheda is there, means division is there. Dvaitam has come. We were talking Advaitam, Akhandam, Satchitanandam, the Brahma. We talk about the Advaitam Brahma. You say Brahman is Advaitam, non-dual reality, one indivisible, partless whole. But now I can say Brahman being the object of revelation, Brahman is what now? Not Advaitam, it is Dvaitam. Okay, subject to duality. Division is there. Therefore, what he says now, if Dvaitam means Brahman is not Advaitam, Brahman is Dvaitam, duality. Okay, Brahman has divisions. Because something other than Brahman is there. Therefore, what he says, Dvaita means you from your own sentence, I can say you only said what? No, Dvaitam Mithya, Advaitam Satyam. And you say her Brahman is Mithya. Why? Dvaitatvat. Okay? Because it is Savikalpam. Brahman is Savikalpam. Nirvikalpam means divisionless. Savikalpam means divisionful. Okay? With the divisions. Okay, Brahman has division. Brahman is divisionful, divided, because it's part of the Triputi. Savikalpam. If Brahman is Savikalpam, if duality is there, that is Mithya. So anything Savikalpam is what? Mithya. Nirvikalpam Brahma, divisionless, indivisible reality is Satyam. But Savikalpam is Mithya. Now, Brahman is Avikalpam because part of Triputi. If it is Mithya, look at this. Brahman is Mithya. Then therefore what? So knowledge of Satyam alone will result in Moksha. Knowledge of Satyam alone will result in Moksha. What we see, we are interested in Moksha. And for Moksha, we need the knowledge of the reality Satyam. We are not interested in the knowledge of the Mithya. Brahman is now, I establish here, Brahman is Mithya. Why? Because Savikalpam, divisible. Why? Because it's part of the Triputi. One of the members of the Triputi, divisions. Therefore, what? What is the use of knowing Brahman? Mithya Brahman. Because knowledge of Mithya Brahman will not free you from bondage. It's not give you, not liberate you. So no, we are not interested in the knowledge of Mithya Brahma. We are interested in the knowledge of the Satyam. Because Satya Jnanam will be supposed to liberate you. Mithya Jnanam is of no use. So what is the use of knowing the Brahman which is Mithya, which does not serve any purpose? So what is the, you know, what is the use of unfoldment, use of unfolding Mahavakyam? What is study of Vedanta Shastram at all? Therefore, we don't need to study Vedanta, waste our time breaking our heads studying Vedanta Shastram. We can stop all our classes. Okay? This is the Nayayika's argument. Nayayika's presentation. How he develops it? Did you see that? But he doesn't present. I have to tell you all these things. Let us read only the verse now. So the 49th verse presents the Nayayika's view. Savikalpasya lakshyatve. Savikalpasya lakshyatve. Lakshasya avastuta syat. See, when the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, when it is unfolded, so Brahman is revealed means Brahman as the revealed object of revelation becomes the part of the Triputi, becomes the one of the members of the Triputi. As one of the members of the Triputi, Brahman becomes what? Savikalpam. Okay? Savikalpam. So, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam reveals only Savikalpam Brahma. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam reveals only Savikalpam Brahma. Because Brahman is Savikalpam. If Brahman is Savikalpam, there is a plurality, there comes plurality, there comes duality. And the duality is what? Mithya. Dvaitam is Mithya. Advaitam alone is Satyam. Therefore, he says what? Lakshyasya. Lakshyam is what now? Brahmanaha. The Brahman which is revealed has. Lakshyasya means Brahman's. Brahman has. Lakshyasya means the revealed Brahman has what? Avastuta syat. Revealed Brahman enjoys what? Mithyatvam. Vastuta means satyatvam. Avastuta means mithyatvam. Brahman has mithyatvam. Brahman has mithyatvam means Brahman is mithya. Lakshyasya avastuta syat means Brahman becomes mithya. Lakshyam stands for Brahma. Lakshyasya avastuta means Brahman enjoys the status of being the mithya. Means Brahman is mithya. Brahman becomes mithya. Why Brahman is mithya? Because Brahman is avikalpam. Why Brahman is avikalpam? Brahman has division. Why Brahman has division? Because Brahman is one of the members of the Triputi. How do you say Brahman is one of the members of the Triputi? Because Brahman is object of revelation. Okay. Now next sentence he says, Nirvikalpasya lakshyatvam na drishtam. Nirvikalpasya lakshyatvam na drishtam. Now what he says, if something is revealed, then that becomes what now? Definitely one of the members of the Triputi. And that becomes what now? That becomes Savikalpam. That has division. If anything has a division, it becomes what now? Division means it is Mithya. But if something is Satyam, then it cannot be revealed at all. Satyam cannot be revealed at all. Look at this, his argument. Satyam cannot be revealed at all. Anything revealed becomes mithya. Satyam is what? Satyam cannot be revealed. Why? Satyam means nirvikalpam is satyam. A divisionless is the reality, and the divisionless cannot become the revealed at all. Divisionless can never become the revealed. Why? Anything revealed has a division. being part, member of the being or becoming being one of the members of the Tripiti, anything revealed becomes what? No, Savikalpam. Revealed has a division, but Nirvikalpam can never become the revealed. Because Nirvikalpam cannot have division. Nirvikalpam means divisionless. Divisionless means it must be free from Triputi Bheda. The revealer, revealing, revealed. The revealer, revealing, revealed difference is called Triputi Bhedaha. Nirvikalpaha, Nirvikalpam means that which is free from Triputi Bheda. Triputi Bheda Rahita means that which is free from these threefold divisions. Knower, known, knowledge. Revealer, revealed, revealing difference. Yeah. That which is free from threefold difference, divisions, is called Nirvikalpam. So, Nirvikalpam is Satyam. What is Satyam? Divisionlessness. Divisionless is the Satyam. Anything which has divisions is mithya. So Brahman is not Nirvikalpam. Brahman is Savikalpam. But Brahman cannot be Satyam. Brahman is mithya because it is one of the members of Triputi. One of the members of this Triputi. Therefore, what he says, the first sentence he says, Brahman is mithya. Therefore, no use of knowing Mithya Brahman. Second thing, he says, Nirvikalpam, Nirvikalpasya, no, the divisionless Nirvikalpasya Lakshatvam Na. Nirvikalpasya Lakshatvam Na means the divisionless can never be revealed. Lakshatvam Na means the divisionless has no lakshatvam, revealability. Okay, divisionlessness, divisionless one does not have revealability. It means what? Divisionless can never be revealed. Anything revealed must have division. Divisionless can never be revealed. Therefore, all his own doubts. So, Nirvikalpasya Lakshatvam Na Drishtam. Na Drishtam is what now? It is not possible at all to reveal the divisionless. Na Cha Sambhavi. Sambhavi what now? Na Cha Sambhavi means it will never happen. Never will it happen. That will be very clear. Divisionless can never be become the revealed. Revelation of the divisionless will never happen. Na sambhavi. Lakshatvam na sambhavi. It will never happen. What will never happen? Revelation of the divisionless will never happen. Revelation of the divisionless is not possible at all. Why? Because divisionless can never be revealed. So now what are you saying? Because Satyam is Nirvikalpam is Satyam. Therefore, divisionless can never be revealed. And divisionlessness is Satyam. Therefore, never can we arrive at the Satyam. Therefore, never can we attain moksha. Is it clear now? Or, therefore what? The study of the Shastram is useless. Working very hard, understanding the Brahman, understanding this, going through, analyzing the Mahavakyam, arriving at the Brahman, at last we arrive at only Brahman which is Mithya. Mithya, Brahman is Mithya. And Mithya Jnanam, knowledge of Mithya is of no use. What we need is knowledge of the Satyam. Isn't it? This is the doubt raised by the Purvapakshi Nayayikaha. Nayayikas Purvapaksha. He got the whole thing now? Okay. Now, he has to give an answer. Very clever, clever doubt. Okay. Now, the logician logics, the two ways of the many methods of refuting, refuting many methods are there in logics. Many logical methods are there. The logicians themselves use many logical methods. And then, so here, there are many methods of handling, dealing with these logicians. And one method is, the first simple method to see. What is the first method? Here Vidyaranya Swami presents two methods. The first method is a simple method. When an opponent is asking you the question, without giving an answer to his question, you ask a counter question that he cannot answer, then you can, what now? You can quietly leave without answering your question, answering his question. Why don't you need to ask his question? Hey, you can't answer. Answer my question, counter question. What do you want to answer for my your question? Okay. Without answering the other person's question, asking a counter question, okay, quietly evading from the answering, isn't it? His question is one method. And this is a very, very ordinary method. It's not the appropriate method. By asking a counter question, excusing himself from not answering the actual question, evading from answering, is what now? It's an inappropriate method. It's called Jati Uttaram. It's called what now? Jati Uttaram. Jati Uttaram means giving an answer in the form of a counter question, thereby not answering the question of an opponent, escaping from the opponent's question, not answering it. But this is not an appropriate method. So, okay, this is one of the methods of handling, dealing with the logicians. Okay, this is one way. Jati Uttaram. And Gaudapada Acharya presents that Jati Uttaram he gives in 50 and 51. In two verses, in verse number 50 and in verse number 51, he gives the Jati Uttaram. It is some simple answer, where actually he does not answer his question. He presents his counter question. But in the 52nd Karika, he gives the proper answer. Okay, he gives the proper answer in 52nd verse, which is called Yathartha Uttaram. Yathartha Uttaram means a proper answer. Yathartha Uttaram, proper answer. Means without, he does not go away without answering his questions. He first makes him see the inappropriateness in his very question. Then he gives a proper answer in his gives. they're giving the proper answer for his question, therefore refuting his argument is given in the 52nd verse, and presenting the appropriate answer is called yathartha uttaram. So jati uttaram and yathartha uttaram, two answers are given. The first answer called jati uttaram is not an answer actually. It is simply presenting a counter question, thereby make the questioner dance, but now so that you can slowly evade from the question. Okay, don't need to answer. That's the first. But we are interested more in the 52nd verse. But still, we will not skip the 51st and 52nd verses. What is that first question he answers? What is the jati uttaram he gives in the 51st verse? Let us see that. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya. Savikalpasya va bhavet. Savikalpasya va bhavet. Adye vyahatiranyatra. Adye vyahatiranyatra. Anavastha atmashrayadayah. Adye vyahatiranyatra. Anavastha atmashrayadayah. Anavastatmashrayadayah. Adye vyahatihi anyatra anavastha atmashrayadayah. Atmashrayadayah. Okay. Now he talks like this. What is this answer? Remember, this is only jati uttaram. First he says, he presents, okay, my dear Nayayika, you are saying, because I explained Brahman is revealed through the Mahavakyam, I actually meant what? Brahman is arrived at through the Mahavakyam. There's a certain way of unfoldment. And you take it as what? Brahman as the revealed vastu. And as the revealed, you say it is object of revelation. Being an object of revelation, it becomes the one of the members of the Triputi. Therefore, now Brahman has division, so it becomes Savikalpam. As the Savikalpam, it is Mithya. And as the Mithya, knowledge of Brahman is of no use. And the second thing, Nirvikalpam is something which cannot be revealed at all. For something to be revealed, it must be Savikalpam. It must have division. Isn't it? Something nirvikalpam, divisionless. Divisionless must be free from these threefold differences, divisions. Therefore, divisionless happens to be something which is free from divisions. Triputi. Divisionless can never become the revealed. And revelation of the divisionlessness is not possible. Divisionless is not possible at all. That is what you are saying. Now he is asking, which means, when you say Brahman is Savikalpam, do you mean, this is the first question, okay? It is who? Vidyanya Swami, okay? It is Vedantin's question. Vedantin asks his counter question. Do you mean Savikalpam, the division, as the attribute of Brahman? This is the first question. When you say Brahman has division, when you say Brahman is avikalpam, Brahman is divisionful, do you mean Brahman, this division is Brahman's attribute? Is division attribute of Brahman? This is the first counter question. Do you mean Savikalpam, the division, as the attribute of Brahman? First question. Second question. All counter questions. We say Brahman has attribute in terms of division. Any attribute needs a substance. Isn't it? Any attribute needs what? Attribute means what now? We say blue pot. The blueness adjective is dependent on what? As a big pot. Any attribute is dependent on a substance. It cannot exist independently. Okay? It can't exist independently. So any attribute needs a locus, isn't it? So he's asking, okay, Brahman, Savikalpam is Brahman's attribute. Do you mean, is it an attribute, first of all? Second question is what? What is the substance where this attribute of division obtain? What is the substance where this attribute of division obtain? Is it clear? Third question is what? Can you establish the existence of attribute? See, brilliant exposition you're going to see later, okay? So, what the third question? First question is, does Brahman have this division as an attribute? First question. Second question is, what is the substance on which this division, attribute of division, obtain? Okay. Third question, can you establish the existence of attribute? In fact, it is only jati uttaram. It is not any yatharta uttaram, it's not even proper. They ask us three questions. Can you establish the existence of the attribute? What is an attribute? Not only this division attribute. You must, first of all, so a substance, isn't it? An attribute is something which can never exist independently. So, really speaking, there's no such a thing called absolute attribute. There's no such a thing called absolute attribute. Attribute is a relative term. Okay, these are the first questions. And first he says, let us take this now. Okay. If at all you say Brahman has this division as his attribute. Now forget about the division of now attribute. Okay. According to Naihaika, this is what attribute. Now he's asking this, he asked first these questions. Now he's saying, if you say Brahman has an attribute of this division, it is only he himself, he to answer these three questions, with this Advaitin himself gives his clue. Now he gives three options here. Is division an attribute of Brahman? If division is an attribute of Brahman, what is the substance where it exists? Where it obtains? Then, how can you please, can you establish existence of the attribute? Three questions. And to answer these three questions, Vedantin himself gives a three options as a clue. There are only possibilities, the three possibilities. Now, what are they? There is a substance without the attributes. Substance without the attributes is called substance, the attributeless substance, number one. The attribute must exist in an attributeless substance, or the attribute must exist in something with the attributes. Now take the attribute alone, okay? Attribute alone, take it. Where can any attribute exist? Now forget about division, forget about Brahman, everything. Just take only this particular aspect called attribute. When we say attribute, any attribute can be any attribute, isn't it? Attribute must be with something with the attributes. There are things with the attributes, without the attributes. There are only two things here. The attribute must exist in a substance which has no attribute at all, or it must be with something which enjoys attributes. In both, there are doshas. If you say attribute is there, attribute exists in the attributeless, it is called anavastha doshaha. Why? When you say attributeless, very word attributeless says what? Doesn't have attribute. An attributeless cannot have an attribute. It's called anavastha doshaha. If you say attributeless has an attribute, it is anavastha doshaha. If you say the thing which has an attribute has an attribute, then this attribute must be what? No. The substance also must have an attribute. The attribute also must have this attribute, isn't it? You get the point? Then it is called the second thing, what now? Atmashraya doshaha. Atmashraya doshaha means what? How can an attribute be on another attribute? An attribute cannot exist in an attribute. It is like what Shankara says, it is like if you try to sit on your lap, can you sit on your own lap? Can you sit on your lap? You can go and sit on other person's lap. How does children come behind and they come and put the bum on you? No? The other person can sit on your lap, but you cannot sit on your own lap. Similarly, an attribute cannot have an attribute as its locus. An attribute cannot have an attribute as its locus. Attribute must exist only in a substance. Only two things now. Attributeless and the attributed. Of these two things, where does an attribute exist? So you cannot establish the very existence of an attribute. So, if you say attribute exists in an attributeless, it is impossible, anavastha doshaha, okay, impossible, the defect of impossibility. If you say the attribute exists in a substance with the attribute, then it's like saying attribute having another attribute, having attribute being in an attribute. It's called Atmashaya Dosha. Atmashaya Dosha means what now? He is saying this man is sitting on his lap, his own lap. Can you say somebody is sitting on one's called Atmashaya Dosha? What, nobody can sit on one's own lap. If you say, no, I saw that man sitting on his own lap. If you say, this is called Atmashriya Dosha. How can an attribute exist in an attribute? Gunam gunatile irukka mudiyadhu. It has to be somewhere else, isn't it? Therefore, attribute cannot be in a substance which is attributeless. Attribute cannot be in a substance which has attribute. Attributed substance also cannot have attributes. Attributeless also cannot have attributes. Is it clear? Anyway, one more point is there. I had to put it correctly. So, first, that these two first problems are discussed in the 51st verse. Let us read that verse again. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya. Savikalpasya va bhavet. Adyevyahatiranyatra anavasthatmashayadayaha. So vikalpaha nirvikalpasya savikalpasya va bhavet. In this 50th verse, nirvikalpa means attributeless. Savikalpa means substance with attributes. So, this attribute must be only possibilities. Where can an attribute exist? First he has two possibilities. In this 51st verse, in this case, two possibilities. Attribute must be in an attributeless, or attribute must be in something which has attributes. In both the places, attribute is not possible. You know why? First, if we say attribute is there on the part of attributeless, it is called anavastha dosha. We say attribute is there in a substance which has an attribute, it's called Atmashraya Doshaha. Okay? It's called error of self-dependence. If we say there is a substance with an attribute, and this will become what now? This will be the second attribute. If we say, this is called what now? Again, anyonya ashraya dosha. So that attribute and this attribute will be mutually dependent. Isn't it? It's like saying what? I am a beggar. I go and beg money from another beggar. Another beggar comes and takes, begs money from me, another beggar. She's called, both are beggars. At least one person must be rich, one person must be a beggar. Then one can give, other person can receive, isn't it? When the both are beggars, how can both beggars help each other? Oh, I'm a beggar. Okay. How do you get money then? I go and ask another beggar. He is a beggar himself. Where does he get the money? When he has no money, he comes to me. Two beggars cannot help each other. Both are beggars. in the same way, here, the next option also is not possible. The next option, I'll take and explain detail next class. Okay, it needs a lot of understanding. At least today, the whole class is to make you understand the Nayayika's problem. So, you understood only today, Nayayika's objection alone you've understood. The answer is still in half the way. At least I've given you the clue, you can never establish the existence of something called attribute, which means there is no such a thing called absolute attribute. And two defects you've understood today, the error of self-dependence, error of mutual dependence, the error of impossibility. Isn't it? A third one I had to explain. Anyway, these three doshas, which are given, presented as the Jati Uttaram, the simply counter question, we'll see in the next class. Okay? We'll go straight to the 50th verse next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. I'm requesting all of you, please don't go back home now, don't go to bed thinking, yes, Brahman is object of revelation. No. It's only Nayayika's question. Today I made the emphasis the question so much. Don't go back thinking, okay? Brahman is Ekam Advayam Satchidanandam Brahma Ahamasmi. Please remember that fact. Don't savikalna, okay? Brahman is one non-dual, secondless, all-pervasive reality, or the nature of limitlessness, and I am that Brahman. Essentially, I am that Brahman. Everything here is Brahman. As I said, only Brahman. Okay, Brahman is not an object of revelation. Brahman is very swarupam of the revealer, very swarupam of the revelation, very swarupam of the revealed, very truth of the revealer, revelation and the revealed. Okay, Brahman is not an object of revelation, very truth of revelation. So we'll continue with the objections next class.